Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. And we jump right in today by continuing our midterm election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days. If you're relatively new to this show or to this series, I'll just say, as a pro-democracy public radio station, we do a 30 Issues in 30 Days series most election years to make sure we're serving you by discussing the issues that matter to all our lives, not just the horse race, as many media outlets do, or not just personal attacks, which too easily grab the headlines. In call-ins that we had this summer, you told us you want a lot of coverage of democracy in peril in this series, and we will devote a third of it to that, 10 of the 30 segments on democracy in peril, beginning in a few weeks. So that's something that's coming up. You also asked for coverage of abortion rights as an issue in the campaign, and we've been starting the series with that. Issues 1 and 2 were abortion rights as an issue in the New York State governor's race, as an example of a blue state campaign, and the abortion rights ballot question in Kentucky as a leading example from a red state. So today we take it from the states to the national level, abortion rights as an issue in the race for control of Congress. Now, back in May, when it first became clear that the Supreme Court was about to overturn Roe versus Wade, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat, of course, introduced a bill to protect a woman's right to choose in federal law. Here is Schumer on the Senate floor on May 11th.
For half a century, Roe v. Wade has been the bedrock upon which women have secured the freedom to make their own decisions when it comes to their bodies. Few questions are more personal, more private, and more complicated than those involving a pregnancy. Few decisions should be more out of bounds to the whims and judgments of elected politicians. But that is precisely the doomsday scenario that now faces our country. Today's vote is one of the most consequential we will take in decades.
The Schumer bill was defeated in the Senate that day, almost entirely along party lines, though Joe Manchin voted with the Republicans. More recently, Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, of course, proposed a bill to limit abortion nationally to the first 15 weeks of pregnancy. States that have stricter abortion bans could keep them. States like New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and California with more liberal timeframes would be forced to reduce them to 15 weeks. Here's Graham comparing his bill to Schumer's on Fox News Sunday last week.
Chuck Schumer introduced legislation several months ago that would allow abortion on demand up to the moment of birth, like China and North Korea, for the entire nation. What did I do in response? I said at 15 weeks, when the baby can feel pain, it sucks its thumb, that we're going to ban abortion except in the cases of rape, incest, life of the mother. We're talking almost 4 months into the pregnancy. It puts us in line with France is at 12 weeks, Germany, England is at 14 weeks. Only in Washington is it extreme to protect a baby at 15 weeks from an excruciating death.
Senator Lindsey Graham, last week on Fox News Sunday. And House Republican leader, Kevin McCarthy, last week unveiled a national Republican congressional campaign platform that included the phrase, quote, to protect the lives of unborn children, unquote. So this issue is very much in play in congressional elections all over the country. With us now is Washington Post national political reporter Lee Ann Caldwell. Among other things, she is co-author of the Washington Post Morning Politics newsletter called Early 202. 202 is Washington, D.C.'s area code, if you didn't know. Lee Ann, thanks a lot for joining us. Welcome to WNYC today.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Can we start, before we fact check Lindsey Graham or anything else, can we start with a basic premise here? Undoing Roe versus Wade as a national abortion right in the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision does not mean the issue is returned to the states, a phrase we've heard people use a lot. It's returned to the political sphere as opposed to the judicial sphere or constitutional Supreme Court sphere. But returning it to politics means returning it to Congress every bit as much as it means returning it to state legislatures, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Congress has the power to legislate this issue. It's just something that they haven't been able to do for decades. And so for so long, Congress has avoided the issue. They haven't taken votes on it, in part because it wasn't necessarily a partisan issue. You had moderate Republicans who believed in abortion rights. You had moderate Democrats who opposed it. It is this realignment that we have seen over the past couple years that where this really has become partisan, and the votes that have been taken in Congress this year are the most partisan. When the House passed it again in July, it was along party lines. There were three Republicans who voted with the Democrats to expand access to abortion. But that was the only crossover. In the Senate, as you mentioned in your lead, when the Senate voted on it, just Joe Manchin voted against it. And that's not to say that he believes in some access to abortion. He thought this bill went too far. But for so long, it wasn't partisan issue. But there also hasn't been the votes. You need 60 votes in the Senate to do anything on abortion. And there have not been 60 senators that agree.
This difference between returning it to the states and Congress having a role, how much is that an issue within the Republican Party right now? I'm asking you as a political analyst, because it was mostly Republicans who for years said Roe should be overturned and return the issue to the states.
Yeah, it's a huge issue in the Republican Party. And that is really how Republicans, especially at the national level, are kind of washing their hands of this issue right now. They are saying that should not be something that Congress should deal with, that it should be up to individual states, that the states and the voters in those states should decide what is appropriate for their state regarding abortion. And so that absolves Republicans at the federal level of responsibility of doing something about it, of addressing this issue, even though they have when they were in the minority and they have, and even in the majority, it hasn't come up, but they have proposed bills on national bans on abortion in the past, even before Roe v. Wade was overturned. They never passed. They never went anywhere. But now that it has become such a potent political issue, especially for Democrats, Republicans kind of want to wash their hands. Many of them, I should say, want to wash their hands of this for the time being.
Apparently not Lindsey Graham and apparently not Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, since they're inserting the issue at this late date into the home stretch of the election campaign. But hold that thought for a minute. We'll get to that. Just on how much many Republicans running for Congress are running away from the issue right now, to expand on the point you just made, the backlash to Dobbs has shown that most Americans are basically pro-choice, including many Republicans. There was that bellwether referendum in Kansas where abortion rights were expected to lose, but they won. And there have been articles, some in the Washington Post, about how Republican congressional candidates are now scrambling to scrub their websites of anti-abortion rights language that seem too extreme for politics now and softening their language. We heard an example of that at the state level yesterday with New York's Republican candidate for governor doing that. Do you have a good example or two of it happening in congressional races?
Yeah, absolutely. In Arizona, Blake Masters, who is running for Senate there, immediately after Roe v. Wade was overturned, he really dug into that position, saying he's 100% pro-life. He wants a ban on abortion. He had 100% pro-life on his website. But over the past few weeks, that is no longer there. They are really talking out of both sides of their mouths, really, on this issue. And so it's put them in a very difficult situation. They are trying to enhance their anti-abortion, pro-life bona fides for the percentage of Republicans who this is a very important issue to, because they don't want to turn those voters off. But they also need to win an election, a statewide election in many of these instances, including in Arizona with Blake Masters. And an outright ban is just not popular there. And so he's trying to straddle the issue very carefully. But, you know, Republicans have been painted in large part by Democrats and in some part by their own doing and how they talk about it as extremists on this issue. And so it definitely seems to be being absorbed by voters.
If you're just joining us, folks, it's our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series segment for today, Issue 3, Abortion Rights as an Issue in the Race for Control of Congress, with Leanne Caldwell from The Washington Post. So, Leanne, the Lindsey Graham 15-week abortion ban, why did he propose that, just as other Republicans were trying to downplay the whole topic of abortion rights, as you were just describing?
Well, just a little bit of color here to start. When Senator Lindsey Graham held his press conference on announcing his 15-week abortion ban, Republicans were beside themselves, Republicans in the Senate. They were blindsided. They didn't know that that was happening. And they thought it was really bad politics. And when Lindsey Graham held his press conference, he was the only senator standing up there. He had supporters from, you know, the activist groups, the anti-abortion groups standing behind him. But even Lindsey Graham admitted that it was very difficult to get all those different, those four or five different groups in the room because of how hard it is to coalesce the party on a timeline or one talking point, one policy on abortion. He settled on the 15 weeks, he says, because that was the basis for the Dobbs decision. The Jackson Women's Health case that went to the Supreme Court was challenging the 15 weeks. He also did it because he says that the party needs to have unity on where they stand on the issue so that voters know. He says that it is in line with European countries, and he thinks it's a legitimate timeline to have abortion access for the first 15 weeks of term. But he did it, and he didn't, you know, Republicans immediately, his colleagues in the Senate immediately said, oh, no, wait a minute. This should be left up to the voters in the states. The Congress is not going to address this issue right now. Maybe down the line, after we hear from all the states, they say that then we will do some sort of national law regarding abortion. But so Lindsey Graham really stepped out front, and the timing was not what Republicans wanted, so close to an election. They don't want to be talking about this issue. And they think that he really muddled their message.
But do we believe that most Senate Republicans really want it to be left to the states until all the states have spoken? Isn't it just a matter of politics? And if they were to have a 60-vote filibuster-proof majority, for example, we would see a national abortion ban, just like Mitch McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader, said is possible if Republicans take control?
I mean, possibly. It is absolutely politics right now. I think that, you know, McConnell has said it's not going to happen because he doesn't have the votes. This is something, you know, Republicans have been wanting a ban on abortion for a very long time. That is why they worked very aggressively to have judges on the Supreme Court who they think were very conservative on this issue and might overturn Roe v. Wade, which is in fact what happened. And so, you know, the politics are very much in play here. All of this is political posturing. And what's really interesting to me and something we explored in our newsletter a few weeks ago is how the definition of pro-life has been changing for Republicans since the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Previously, pro-life was an absolute ban on abortion or a six-week, you know, ban, or, you know, as Lindsey Graham says, now a 15-week ban. And so Republicans have been unable, they have found, now that this is not no longer an esoteric issue, but an issue that is front and center and very real life for many people, that they can't agree on what pro-life actually means. And so if they do take control of the House of Representatives, like they are expected to do, we should expect there to be abortion legislation. Will it get a vote? Will it come up for a vote? You know, that's up to Leader Kevin McCarthy in the Senate. If there's only 50, 51 Republican senators, if they do take back the Senate, I don't expect this to be brought up to the floor. I don't think this is going to be a priority. And there's
because
no chance.
McConnell knows it would lose.
Yeah, McConnell doesn't like to lose. And so it is politics. He does not bring things up to the floor that will fail. He does it very rarely. Did it with Obamacare, attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act. We saw how that went. And people don't like to that he doesn't like to lose. So, you know, I think that right now the discussion is definitely in the House of Representatives, but even they, in their commitment to America, were very vague on the issue and did not define what pro-life meant, even though they say that they will protect unborn children, is what they say, and mothers. Obviously, that is something that is debatable if banning abortion would actually protect mothers.
Right. As a footnote to history, you mentioned that Lindsey Graham hung his 15-week abortion ban on the original Dobbs case. People will forget, this is why it's going to be a footnote to history, I think, that that Mississippi case that went to the Supreme Court, Dobbs, was a 15-week abortion ban. It was not a total abortion ban. It was a 15-week abortion ban. And there were other people who filed suits, maybe even the Mississippi Attorney General, even while the law that the Mississippi state legislature passed was 15 weeks, then other people said, or Mississippi itself said, yeah, you know, while you're at it, why don't you throw out Roe altogether? And the Supreme Court said, yeah, that's a great idea. We think we'll do that. So it was a 15-week abortion ban in the Dobbs case in Mississippi, but the Supreme Court went much further. By the way, the phrase that we've been talking about that people use, return abortion to the states, listener tweets, states don't get abortions. Leave it to those who do, people. So that's an interesting take on that phrase from a listener. But, Leanne, the comparison that Lindsey Graham made in the clips we played, the comparisons between what he's proposing at 15 weeks and what Schumer proposed that failed along party lines, is Graham characterizing Schumer accurately? And is he characterizing France and Germany and England accurately in that clip on how many weeks abortion rights are limited to in those other Western countries?
You know, I don't know. This is out of my purview, unfortunately. But this is what Republicans say. I'm not sure of the ins and outs of law overseas. But this has become a very common talking point among Republicans, that Democrats are extreme on the issue. They are now using the term abortion on demand, which is a very grotesque way to put it, and also obviously dismisses all of the, you know, the decisions and the agony and the medical history and needs of a woman and a family when they use those that term. But they say that the United States is far outside of what the rest of the world allows on this issue. Like I said, I'm not really sure, because this is a discussion of what's happening in this country. Sure. But it is a talking point that the base is really effective with the Republican base, but they're not going to be persuaded on this issue. People who are anti-abortion, anti-access to abortion, they already believe what they believe. And so where the discussion and the debate is right now is in the middle, the moderates, the independent voters, and I'm not sure that is really effective right now that abortion access is being stripped from people around this country. The debate takes on a different, you know, tone and a different meaning now that abortion is not legal for many people.
Yeah. Well, about Graham's characterization of the Schumer bill, what was in the Schumer bill? What have all the Democrats in the Senate except Joe Manchin signed on to?
Yeah, it is something. It codifies Roe v. Wade, which is at viability at about 24 weeks. But it also does allow these abortions past 24 weeks when it is medically necessary. That does nothing to outlaw abortion in those instances. And so that is something that Schumer or that Manchin thought went too far. Senator Susan Collins of Maine, the Republican, she has her own abortion access bill with Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia. And the thing that she really wanted to address to change from the Democrats' bill is religious liberty, ensuring that religious institutions have the ability to, you know, practice their beliefs and their faith on this issue. And so that was a major change. So the bill does expand access to abortion, creates fewer limits. And it is, you know, because the Democratic Party believes that it is absolutely the right of most in the Democratic Party, I should say, the right of a mother and her medical professional and her family to decide what is best, especially when her life is on the line.
So confirming some of these Europe comparisons, we've been looking them up in the last few minutes while we've been talking. From Reuters in June, it says, technically abortion is illegal altogether in Germany. However, it is allowed under certain circumstances, and the procedure must be performed within 12 weeks of conception. And from the AP in July, it says, last year, French lawmakers passed a law extending the abortion deadline from 12 to 14 weeks and allowing midwives to perform the procedure. So it sounds like Lindsey Graham is mostly accurate when he's talking about what's going on in Europe. On the Susan Collins bill and on what you said about most of America kind of being in the middle on this, New Yorker magazine historian Jill Lepore had a piece recently, and I want to read one paragraph from it. It said, unfortunately for Schumer, this is about the Schumer bill that failed, unfortunately for Schumer, the Senate vote on the Women's Health Protection Act serves Republicans in addition to Democrats because the bill is out of step with public opinion on abortion. The majority of Americans favor keeping abortion legal, but with some restrictions. You can't be a little bit pregnant, but you can be something other than uncompromisingly pro-life, that is, opposed to abortion, even in cases of rape, incest, or danger to the life of the mother, or unwaveringly pro-choice, permitting abortion into the last weeks of a healthy pregnancy. And in that place in between, writes Lepore, a haunted place of difficulty, anxiety, relief, and grief is where most Americans stand, Jill Lepore in The New Yorker recently. So I'm curious, Leanne, if you agree with that as a description of public opinion and as political analysis of how the Schumer bill may actually backfire and help Republicans.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that it's actually, it's beautifully written what she said. I think that public opinion is very hard to discern. One of the things that Republicans used to say constantly leading up to this Dobbs decision is that abortion has always been very difficult to poll because there's so many nuances on the issue. You know, we have, you know, Washington Post reporters out in the country outside of DC have been talking to people who say they are absolutely pro-life, but they want exception A, B, C, D, E, and F. And so that's really hard to pull. I think it really gets back to what people are faced with. Are people faced with an all-out ban on abortion, which has proven to be absolutely unpopular and what people do not want? So that seems to be very clear. And then the different gradients beyond that are much more difficult. And I think that it's hard to determine and how that is going to result in an election unless it's a very clear cut line. And with the issue of abortion, it's just not. And people also have different values based on what they themselves would do and believe and what they would enforce on other people. Those also tend to be very different things.
Very important.
And so I think it's very, very complicated. But right now, because there is a threat of abortion going away in many of these places or already taken away, then it's a much easier choice. But Democrats do have a history of overreaching, you know, sometimes on this issue, but on many issues, and there tends to be a backlash. But I don't think that's where we're at right now. That's not the question. Right now, the question, the issue is there is a backlash against Republicans who are imposing this on women around this country.
And of course, late-term abortions are almost always based around health concerns of the mother or on an amniocentesis diagnosis of a serious fetal abnormality and things like that. So
that's you know, I'm glad you said that because it reminds me of the statistic that 92% of abortions take place in the first 12 weeks. Over 98% of abortions take place in the first 20 weeks. And so the number of abortions, even after this viability of 24 weeks, is so, so rare. And so a lot of times Republicans want to place the discussion on that number, that post-viability phase of a pregnancy, but it impacts very few people. You know, when it does, obviously, it's very traumatic and a very difficult decision in most instances, medical necessity. But that is not where most people live. Like most people, that doesn't happen that often. And so it is an instance where Republicans are perhaps overreaching on this, talking about the extremes in something that very rarely impacts people's lives.
It's our 30 Issues in 30 Days midterm election series. Issue number 3, abortion rights as an issue in congressional campaigns, with Leanne Caldwell, who's reported on this a lot for The Washington Post. And Leanne, we should be clear about the Lindsey Graham bill. It is not that compromise that Jill Lepore hints at in The New Yorker. It does not protect abortion rights until 15 weeks. It makes 15 weeks a maximum, but allows all those red states that have basically total bans now to keep them, right?
Yes, correct. Correct. It does. And so that's a really, really good point. And then for the states that, like California, who is just yesterday moved legislation in the state to expand access to abortion to ensure that California is a safe haven state that women can go to and travel to receive abortions. And so this Lindsey Graham bill would impose those, you know, these federal restrictions on states like California.
So listeners, there's a question that you might answer for yourselves if you want to call in on this. If there was a national abortion right until 15 or 20 weeks, let's say, but also a limit of 15 or 20 weeks, other than for rape, incest, or extreme health problems for the mother or diagnoses of the fetus, is that a national compromise you would support? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or anything else you want to say or ask on the topic of abortion rights as an issue in congressional campaigns on our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series. This is issue number 3, 212-433-WNYC. We'll take your calls right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, 30 Issues in 30 Days, our midterm election series, issue number 3, abortion rights as an issue in congressional campaigns. Our guest is Leanne Caldwell, who writes the early 202 morning politics newsletter for The Washington Post, but also has covered the abortion rights issue a lot. Let's take a phone call from somebody who knows more about what European abortion rights laws are like. Kate in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kate.
Hey, Brian. Thank you so much for all of your thoughtful coverage on abortion. Yeah, I used to work in reproductive rights in the U.S. and in Europe. It's really disingenuous comparison when Lindsey Graham talks about France and other countries in Europe, because countries like that do have cutoffs at 12 or 15 weeks often have a lot of things that we do not, like free access to contraception, free access to emergency contraception like Plan B or the morning after pill, widely available abortion care in regular healthcare settings so people don't have to travel miles and miles to get to clinics, and abortion is usually free. So all of those reasons are the things that push people later in pregnancy here in the U.S. don't exist in those countries. And then beyond 12 or 15 weeks, there are huge exceptions beyond that cutoff that often include mental health care. So, and then not to mention all the free child care and other health care coverage that exists for folks who do want to continue their pregnancies. So Graham has been making this comparison for years every time he introduces these bans, and it's never been a fair comparison.
Kate, thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate it with the context of your background. Leanne, is anyone proposing a compromise position like the one implied in the Jill Lepore article in The New Yorker? I read something about a Susan Collins bill. You mentioned Susan Collins briefly, but I'm unclear.
Yeah, I think that the Susan Collins one would be the closest to that. She did it with Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia, a Democrat. Of course, he was Hillary Clinton's VP nominee, if you remember, go back in the day.
2016.
Yeah, so if...
feels like such a long time ago, 2016, right? I think 2016 feels as long ago now as like 1950 felt in 1980, you know?
I had to think, it was 2016, right? No, yes. But that's why you might know his name. And, you know, I had an interview with him, and he's one of those people where this issue is very difficult for him as a Catholic, as, you know, but he doesn't want to impose his beliefs on other people. And he and Susan Collins worked on this legislation, and they think that it affects the right balance. It is 24 weeks, you know, access to abortion up until viability, 24 weeks. They think that it is a very clean codification of Roe v. Wade. You know, it hasn't come up for a vote. Senator Schumer hasn't entertained it. It kind of was introduced and then it didn't go anywhere and no one really talked about it again. We are in campaign season. We're in political season. And so this is become a political issue. It has always been a political issue, but right now it is really a political issue. And so people aren't really they're not looking for answers at the federal level anyway.
Jennifer in Wall Township in New Jersey on this idea of a compromise that might reflect majority public opinion in this country of a 15-week protection but a 15-week ban other than in extreme circumstances. I think Jennifer is calling to say no deal. Is that right, Jennifer? You're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, no, that's correct. I think, you know, any way you slice it, you're going to be placing policy on, you know, women's autonomy and their bodily rights. So, you know, I understand that that would be considered a compromise in some people's opinion, but it certainly still qualifies as a ban on women's, you know, again,
if somebody were to argue that functionally it might protect abortion rights pretty aggressively in this country, because right now we have all these states, these red states, that are banning it almost entirely. They wouldn't be able to do that. They would have to offer abortion rights up until 15 weeks under that Susan Collins type of a bill. And as we just heard from Leanne, almost every abortion in the United States, except under extreme circumstances, takes place before 15 weeks. It would probably, or at least arguably, legalize many, many, many more abortions than it would outlaw under a compromise like that. Would that sway you at all?
I do appreciate that. You know, I agree that, most abortions are performed before that 15-week mark. And, you know, it would be, of course, you know, thankfully, some type of protection for states who don't have access to abortion and some sort of type of protection. But I think ultimately, it really is, you know, a difficult position, because at its core, you're still regulating women's bodies.
Jennifer, thank you so much for your call. Really appreciate it. Sally in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sally.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to thank you and all the people who are speaking today about offering a compromise. I feel that, to use the words of the poet Yehuda Amichai, that the ground where you were right is very dry and cracked. And if you keep standing on it, it just gets drier and more cracked. That to bring some nuance into this, and to maybe even open up to the idea that after 16 weeks, there is a heartbeat. And I'm not a pro-choice person. I have had two
early abortions.
I am pro-choice. I'm sorry. Yes. And I've had two abortions in early, before 12 weeks. I also have had four live births. Mm-hmm. So I come from a whole point of view that there is a life inside of me, and that I have rights as a mother, as I have rights as a woman. I think the 15-week ban is very sensible, except what? In
those extreme
I think that's
cases.
What someone
what if, would you say to the cases. To the previous caller who says, yeah, but it's still policing women's bodies, and ultimately your feeling, as you just articulated, should be your choice as to when you wouldn't do it anymore, and somebody else should be able to make their choice?
Yeah, it's what would I say to that person? I think that it's more nuanced than just policing women's bodies. I think that there is something inside of your body.
Sally, thank you very much. Well, a little representation of how conversations might be going on about this, about various proposals, Leanne, at, you know, people's dinner tables and all over the place, huh?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a debate that has really flipped, obviously, this year. Republicans and the pro-life movement, the anti-abortion movement, has been working toward this day for 50 years. The pro-choice movement has been warning about this day for many years. And now we are here, and the conversation is extremely nuanced, and nuanced conversations are usually not, good politics, and often don't turn into good policy either. So it's very difficult, and people have a lot of choices moving ahead. And this is not something that is going to be decided in this midterm election. This is something that is going to be an issue for many, many years and many, many elections down the road.
Now, to finish up, we've been talking so much about the Senate in this conversation, the Chuck Schumer bill, the Lindsey Graham bill, the Susan Collins bill, which are all at different points on the spectrum on this issue. Let's finish up with the House. When the Supreme Court ruled in Dobbs, Nancy Pelosi said this.
With Roe and their attempt to destroy it, radical Republicans are charging ahead with their crusade to criminalize health freedom. In the Congress, be aware of this, the Republicans are plotting a nationwide abortion ban. They cannot be allowed to have a majority in the Congress to do that, but that's their goal.
So that was Nancy Pelosi. Here's the House Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy.
This great nation can now live up to its core principle that all are created equal, not born equal, created equal. Americans celebrate this historic victory because we know it will save the lives of millions of children and it will give families hope. But as encouraging as today's decision is, our work is far from done.
Our work is far from done. Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy just after the Dobbs decision. So, Leanne, you described earlier how many Republican congressional candidates have been walking away from that kind of Kevin McCarthy language after the Kansas abortion referendum, in which it was revealed that even a lot of Republicans want basic abortion rights in this country. And yet, McCarthy released that so-called Commitment to America congressional campaign platform last week that included the phrase to protect the lives of unborn children. So what's going on?
It did include that phrase because that is the only thing that Republicans right now in Congress are able to agree on. There was no specifics on to what that means. Does that mean a complete ban? Does that mean no exceptions? Does that mean 6 weeks, at 15 weeks, at 20 weeks? You know, Republicans in the House are more, can be more conservative, more extreme than in the Senate. They obviously have districts instead of states they have to represent. But this abortion issue could very well cost Kevin McCarthy some pickup seats, some ability to win seats that are, you know, on his target list. It happened in the special in New York when Pat Ryan in August, he won. He's a Democrat. The Republican was supposed to win in that special election. But Pat Ryan leaned into the abortion issue very heavily in his campaign. And to the surprise of pretty much everyone, Democrats and Republicans, Pat Ryan won. And so Republicans see the warning signs on this issue. And that's why in his commitment to America, he had to include a line about protecting the lives of unborn children. But that was just a line. It was a talking point, and it can mean many things to many people. And it is proof that Republicans are not united on this issue, especially as they now know that this is bad politics for them.
30 issues in 30 days, our midterm election series. Our first three issues have been on abortion rights. Starting tomorrow, we'll go on to our set on immigration as an issue. We'll do our next two on that, issues 4 and 5. For today, we thank Lee Ann Caldwell, who writes the early 202 morning newsletter, politics newsletter for the Washington Post. She's also what they call a Washington Post live anchor, doing interviews and stuff. And she has reported a lot on abortion rights in national politics. Lee Ann, thank you so much for all your insights today.
Thanks for having me, Brian.